All right, guys, welcome back to this week's episode of the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast. We're up to episode 78, and I'm here with AFL Women's Gun, AFL Women's Footballer Gun, Katy Brennan. So, Katy, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. Welcome to the gym.
Yeah, welcome to I just come down to check out KB Performance, which we'll chat about later in the show. But we've been trying to tee up this episode for a little while, so I'm glad we got it done. You're a listener of the podcast, I believe.
I am, yeah. It's very inspiring. I like to listen to it in my car and when I'm travelling to training and, yeah, to different parts. So
awesome.
Well done.
Thank you.
A great job.
Thank you. So today, guys, we are going to keep this discussion relatively broad. Obviously, want to chat about women's football, a little bit just about the gym here. Also, we're going to touch on nutrition, some training outside of football and leading into the season. So I think we'll start the show. Do you want to just have a quick chat about basically what you do for those that don't know who you are and also a bit about your football career so far?
Yeah, so I guess I started footy when I was around maybe 4 or 5 years old. So I started in Auskick and was always a big follower of my older brother Paul and did everything that he did. And he got to, from there, play in the under-8s. And I sort of moved through from the boys to the youth girls and then into the open women's when I was about 15 or so. I think as a female in a male-dominated sport, it was pretty tough sort of growing up and knowing that, you know, as one of the better players in that little boys league, that you sort of had to stop your footy career. And there wasn't heaps of opportunity at the time, but luckily there was a youth girls league to go into from there. And then I decided to move down to Victoria. So I guess here, being the home of footy and the home of women's footy as well, it's a really strong state in terms of the talent here and I guess the progress of the development pathways. So I wanted to play at Darabin. So Darabin is our VFL club at the moment.
VFL, yeah.
And then we go and play AFL in summer. And
you guys won the flag this year, I believe.
Yeah, we did. We had a cracking year, which was awesome. I guess I just wanted to surround myself with, you know, you're the sum of the people you surround yourself with. So yeah, we had some really decent talent in Daisy Pierce, Darcy Vessio. There's lots of, I guess, AFL women's girls that are soon becoming household names that play for Darabin, and just the culture there is very successful and a great one to be part of. So I guess, yeah, that's my football journey. I got drafted I started playing for Western Bulldogs during the exhibition games and then was picked up as a marquee player. So it just sort of meant there was 2 marquee players around for each of the 8 teams around Australia. So I was very lucky that I didn't have to go through the whole draft experience. It was a great year for the AFL women's in general and was very lucky to captain the Bulldogs as well. So
yeah, it's unreal.
Yeah, it's been a great journey so far and just nice that we've got a platform to play on.
Yeah, so what year was the first exhibition game? Because was there a couple before the AFL Women started?
Yeah, so that would have been 2013, I believe, and there was just a couple across the 1 year in 2013. I think 2014 we might have had 2 and then 2015 the same.
Okay.
And then, yeah, from there was sort of the progression into AFL Women's.
What was the emotions when you found out there was going to be an AFL Women's League? And also, what was the emotions, but also did you expect it to be kind of as big as it ended up being in its first season?
Yeah, I guess the emotions were, it was just out of this world. Like, it was a dream come true. It sounds so cliche, but it really was. Like, we've played those exhibition games before and, you know, they meant a lot that you could play in AFL colours and on Etihad and the MCG. But I think the fact that we were able to do a whole pre-season together and we're actually playing for premiership points and all of the teams fell under, you know, successful AFL clubs as well, which have the backing, they have the supporters, the membership base, and the facilities that we could all be a part of. So, yeah, it was incredible, and I think definitely the first season was beyond the expectation of a lot of us. I think growing up in the women's football world, where you know the talent's there and the interest is there within sort of that community, but to take that to the broader AFL community and beyond that, and sort of the media response as well.
It was pretty insane.
Was
it the first game or one of the first games down in Carlton was a sellout?
It was pretty insane. It was incredible scenes. Yeah. It was a lockout. There was people jumping the fences to try and get a look in. It was people swarming. It's got to be a pretty swarming, unreal feeling, yeah. Yeah, swarming all on like Princess Park. So, yeah, it was an amazing season and really hope sort of year two goes beyond what year one was all about too.
Yeah, yeah. So going into season number one or the first season, obviously there would have been a lot of girls that hadn't played in front of massive crowds or even probably play or put in that much time with their training for football. What was the pre-season kind of like in terms of physically before you started, because it was a short pre-season as well?
Yeah, it's fairly short. I guess the way that our year runs at the moment is we play VFL, we have about 3 weeks off legs and then straight back into training, so we're sort of in that period at the moment, but we have pretty much 8 official pre-season weeks with the club, and obviously there's a lot to pack in during that time, so that pre-season was the hardest pre-season that I've ever encountered, and I think that's probably the same across the board, that you just raise to a whole new level in terms of your on-leg conditioning, your strength work, and I guess even the football craft where you have to put a lot more energy into it. So I think on top of that, we had never trained for that many hours in a row. So we would get to the club around 4 p.m. and not walk out of there until about 10. And so it was pretty full on. But at the same time, I think with the product of what it was, we all reaped the rewards of that tough pre-season, and it was a pretty good show on in AFL Women's.
Yep, and how many total games was there in the first season, was it?
So there was 8.
8?
Yeah, or 7 all up and a final. Yeah, okay. 7 all up and a final.
Yep. Yeah, and how did you find the pace of the game in the AFL Women's compared to the VFL? Did you find it was a big difference?
Yeah, there was a massive step up, and there's, I guess, in AFL Women's we play 16 a side, whereas VFL is 18 a side, and we're on bigger grounds as well. So I think, you know, the endurance side of thing was a massive step up, but also just the intensity at the footy. The girls were bigger, they were stronger. And I think you had to play every game like it was the final. So if you lost games, you would slip down the ladder, and it was the final two that got into the grand final. It's just the way that the final system works. So, yeah, heaps of intensity out there, and just found that it was a massive step up.
Yeah, and we were actually talking about that before. So for anyone watching or listening that's got a good idea of kind of energy systems and the type of training that goes into a normal game of football, having 4 less players on the field makes a big difference to your aerobic capacity, the amount you have to use your aerobic capacity compared to VFL as well. So, you know, this year round, as I said, we were just discussing this before, Katie's going to put a massive emphasis on trying to increase her endurance, but the endurance of high intensity efforts. Mm-hmm. So, whereas before, or even with the VFL, I'm assuming like it was probably more so based around high intensity efforts and not having to have that endurance as high as what you found it in the AFL.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it varies on which position you are around the field. But as a centre half forward, you've got to be able to present and present again and repeat all those efforts, but then have that endurance base to keep going and also to make decisions under pressure and under fatigue.
Under fatigue, yeah, it's a big one. So growing up, who did you follow in the AFL?
I was a Brisbane Lions supporter, so coming from Brisbane, and they were really, you know, hot in the 2000s, winning their premierships, three on the trot. So, I guess the idol was Jonathan Brown, centre half forward, and it was just a great role model to look up to. But I guess that's the beauty of AFL Women's now, that we have female role models to look up to,
exactly,
especially
right.
For all these young girls coming through.
Yeah, and have you seen or do you feel like there's been a good response for the junior female footballers now, knowing that they've got something to work towards? And like, I don't know if there's many stats or you know of any stats, but have the numbers increased in junior female football?
They've absolutely gone through the roof. Yeah. And like you said, I'm not quite sure of the stats, but in terms of the juniors from like Auskick all the way through to 14s, I guess you would classify them as juniors, that has gone up, and you just hear about you know, clubs all around Victoria, but all around the country as well, bringing in youth girls and, and, you know, junior girls as well. And also more of the girls are playing with the boys too, which I think I was one of the only girls at my club growing up doing that. And, but then on top of that, there's, I think there was 70 VAFA teams come into just the Victorian League alone this year, which is just incredible. So, there's going to be, you know, a whole lot more participation, which just breeds talent at the top as well. And then more opportunities with some more AFL teams coming in 2019 and 2022.
Okay. What teams are they?
So we've got Geelong and North Melbourne coming in, not next year, the year after. And then Gold Coast Suns, West Coast, St Kilda and Richmond coming in 2020. Right. So heaps more opportunities for girls at the top.
Awesome. And so before, so when you were a junior athlete, were you playing other sports as well as football?
Yeah, I guess there was always the sports going through high school and primary school. So I was a big runner, so cross country, athletics, did a lot of swimming as well. In terms of ball sports, I was probably a little bit of netball, played tennis and a bit of soccer and touch footy. And that was the same through high school as well. But footy was always the constant. So it was like, it was the sport that I played every year. I never missed a footy season for netball. It was, it was just kind of those sports that I played.
What was the, what was the main attraction to football? Like what did you kind of enjoy about that more than you, you know, say you found netball enjoyable or any of the other sports?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think, I don't know, I think the skill level that you need to play footy, like I'm big on kicking and that sort of skill acquisition that you need to be able to control the footy and land it into someone's chest. So I, you know, found a lot of joy out of the challenge of footy and also that it was quite physical as well. I think those other sports, netball, basketball, soccer, they're all physical in their own right, but the ability to be able to tackle someone or take on a tackle is a whole different sort of story. So, yeah, I think on top of that, football was in my hand since I was a really young girl. It was sort of in the blood for me and my dad played. So, I just have always loved it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I want to touch on some nutrition now. So, again, we were talking about this before, but most of my listeners and viewers know how important nutrition is and how I'm a big advocate of kind of flexible dieting and also just knowing roughly what your numbers are in terms of energy in and energy out. What importance do you put on nutrition, whether it's in the off season for training, whether it's body composition? Obviously you need to have skin folds relatively low, and then on game day as well.
Yeah, I guess, probably similar to your listeners or anyone that plays a competitive sport, that you need to make sure that you're putting the right fuels into your body in order to get, you know, your performance right. So I'm a big believer on really, I guess, healthy foods. I like to eat organic foods as well and try and get as many nutrients within my body as I can, just to make sure that, again, I'm performing well but also recovering, because you have to make sure that you can back up day after day. But in terms of the flexibility of it all, I've now found that I like to listen to my body as well. And I got into a bit of a stage where I was really, really strict on what I was eating, and I didn't see results because it wasn't actually what my body needed the time. So I was a bit of a carbophobe as well and sort of went off carbs for a little bit. But after some advice... it's been a massive change just following that program that that you set out for me, and sort of being flexible within that, but also following sort of the guidelines in terms of the numbers.
Yeah, and we spoke about before in terms of eating for performance. And I think this also, obviously eating for fat loss or muscle gain, you need to be wary of your calories in terms of being in a deficit or a surplus. But even if you're not an athlete, putting a big emphasis on your nutrition based around performance will then lead to results. Whereas you mentioned before, like there was, I think you said a season or two ago where you were eating probably more so being mindful of your skin folds instead of performance. And as soon as you make that mental switch, all of a sudden everything kind of clicks, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And I think, you know, instead of eating to be the skinniest or the, you know, have the least skin folds out there, I'm actually eating to be the best that I can be out there and to be the best footballer. And I think if you do play a team sport that you you need to make sure, or a sport in general, or if you're a bodybuilder or whatever, you just need to make sure that you are putting you know, the right fuels in order to get that result at the end.
Yeah, I mean, in the end of the day, it's all well and good to look good or have low skin folds, but if you feel like shit and you perform horribly, what's the point?
Exactly.
So there's a lot of better ways. Now, KB Performance, which is where we are right now.
Yeah.
I can't really show you guys. Maybe I'll show you on the Facebook Live
tour
at the end. When did you open it up? And also, how long have you kind of been in the strength and conditioning field for?
Yeah, so I guess along with footy, having a gym like this was a bit of a dream of mine since I was a young girl. And as a female growing up in, again, the male-dominated sport and not having many role models across the board, I really craved something like this. I wanted somewhere where I could come and train and where I could feel comfortable to train. I think being a female, you know, within a gym setting can often be a little bit intimidating for some.
For
so
sure.
As a young girl, I feel like I experienced that a little bit, and I wanted to create a really supportive environment where young girls can come and train. And I think naturally with where women's football is going, we have a bit of an edge on, I guess, getting more of the women's aspiring women's footballers in here. And I think we kind of just attract them in a way. So we ran some general pop classes, and we say that these are everyday athletes. So we try and train them, you know, like athletes, to make sure that they have goals, they have benchmarks, and that they're always improving. And also we have our AFL Women's Academy as well, which runs three nights a week and a Sunday as well, where we say we have three pillars in here, which is the mental side, so the imagery, the meditation, and just making sure that, you know, they're doing their gratitude, all that sort of stuff, so making sure that the mind is sound.
In a good space, yeah.
Yeah, we've got the skill work or the craft, which is the football stuff that... we've got quite a big space, which is pretty cool. So we do a lot of touch work, a lot of perfect practice, which again we try and get, you know, the 10,000 hours in, so these girls are proficient with their skills. And then we do the strength and conditioning side of things, where again I think it's a really important thing for young women to be able to feel confident in the gym, but also know that they can lift as well.
Yeah.
So we teach them the basics, but also go through a bit of a structure where it's, you know, activation. Might be a little bit of core work at the start, or any corrective that they might need, or mobility, some strength work, power work before that, then strength work, some accessory lifts as well, and then any extra top-up conditioning or core work they need on top of that.
And that applies not for only athletes, but obviously any young person that's getting into the gym. It's really important to learn proper form nice and early. The earlier you can learn, not just form with your weights, but your activation, your recovery. And you touched on meditation. That's something that I've been massive on this year. Like I've made it a goal to do it every single day. Is that something you do daily as well?
Yeah, definitely daily. I do it before bed at the moment, and then I sometimes do some in the afternoon as well, just depending on time and I guess how I'm feeling too. So that's sort of the intuitive one. If I really need it, if I'm stressed and coming from meetings and coming back to the gym before I have my girls in here, I'll do a meditation in the afternoon. But we get them to do it every session, and it sort of helps, you know, we train our bodies so hard, and we often neglect the mind. So important to sort of, you know, put really good habits into these young girls that hopefully will end up in football clubs one day, or else just we want them to be the best they can be.
Yeah, definitely.
We want to make sure that they are training the mind and also training their body.
Yeah, I find if I do my meditation before bed, I just fall asleep.
Yeah, and so I think you've got to find
first thing in the morning.
What works for you exactly. Yeah. So I often use it for that reason as well. Like I'll do
just to wind down.
And especially after a late training, or even a game where you're playing in front of 10,000 people, there's lights, there's cameras, there's everything. I often can't sleep after that, so a night meditation just sort of suits me, and I'm able to just go off to sleep nicely after that.
Yeah, cool. So what date does, or when does your pre-season start officially with the Bulldogs this year?
So we have had our little off-legs period, so we've been about 3 weeks off-legs, a bit of downtime, which has been nice. And then we're welcomed into the club now, so we'll have about 5 weeks weeks where we can go in and do some running.
Do your own thing.
A bit of a program. And I guess because our pre-season is so short, I'm keen to get straight into it.
Yeah.
But we officially start on the 20th of November, and that'll be about an 8-week pre-season before into round one.
Yep, and it's 8 games again.
It'll be 8 games, but it'll be a longer final series. So it'll be top four in the finals. So awesome. Fingers crossed the Bulldogs can get there.
Yeah, definitely. So what was your kind of experience of playing in front of those big crowds? Like, do you find that you get quite nervous before, or you just kind of enjoy it?
Yeah, I think you have a fair bit of nervous energy when you're going out there, but it was the first time that, you know, we'd played in front of such a big crowd, but I just felt so much excitement for it. I felt so much pride, and I just absolutely soaked up the occasion. Like, I think it's really important once you're walking through the race and you're about to run through the banner, that you get out there, and even when you're doing your warm-up, just to sort of take it all in. So when the siren goes and the ball's thrown up, that you can just focus and get straight into the game. And I think maybe that's one of the things that I've really worked on, is just being able to be in the moment when you're out there and get into that flow, which meditation really helps.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, so this is a question I only just thought of before. Who would you kind of liken yourself to the most out of the guys, AFL players? Yeah. Like, do you kind of see yourself playing like someone else? Or
I guess I probably have modelled my game off this person a little bit, but I wouldn't say, I feel like I'm a bit of a dickhead saying that I'm very much like this person, but I'd hope to play a little bit like Nick Riewoldt and his work rate, his ability to just will himself to the contest and keep providing options. So I guess that is a bit of an inspiration for me, and if I can be anything like him, that would be amazing for me. But again, I think it's really important, and in terms of whether it's football role models or role models in life or mentors, that you have to sort of take bits and pieces from everyone. So, you know, I love Dusty's Fend. I love Dyson's ability to use the footy. I love Dangerfield's ability to burst from the pack, and I'd love to be able to kick goals like Buddy. So I don't want to be just one player. I want to have the attributes of all of them and be a really complete footballer. So I guess that's the goal going forward, to try and tick a lot of boxes and keep progressing my footy and not just be a centre-half forward. I would love to be able to run more through the midfield but also kick goals as well.
Yeah, awesome. All right, last couple of questions. Where do you kind of see the AFL Women's League going? Do you see it continuing to grow over the next few years and beyond?
Yeah, I do. I think, if you watched year one, or if you heard about it, it was a huge success. And I think it's going to take a little bit of time with the teams coming in, which obviously spreads a bit of talent. But at the same time, with more opportunities coming in, it means more girls want to improve and get better. And also more girls will be in elite environments in order to improve and get up to the standard really quickly. So I think it will keep growing. The AFL sort of has this vision that there will be 18 teams across the whole country, and hopefully we might be curtain raisers one day to the boys.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's pretty enjoyable playing in the summer and not the winter. Oh, so
100%.
I much think prefer you guys, that.
You've definitely got the better end of the deal, I reckon, 100%.
Yeah. So I think, it'll continue to grow, and it's really exciting.
Great. All right, last question. Obviously now there's going to be more opportunities for girls that are wanting to take their footy to the next level, like junior athletes. What advice would you give to, a young girl who kind of has made the decision that she wants to eventually play AFL women's football?
Yeah, I guess I get this question a little bit, and I really love this question, because I think no matter how much talent you have or don't have, it's all about the work that you put in and how much you want it. So you have to sort of reevaluate what you really want in life. Like, I'll get girls coming in here saying, I want to play AFL, but their schedule doesn't look like they want to play AFL in terms of they've got so much more going on. So I'm big on having three key things in your life that you're aiming towards, and one major one. So we had a young girl walk in here who just got drafted yesterday. So she went pick 14 to Melbourne, and she'd missed out on Vic Metro, which is the representative team 2 years in a row. And she came to me and she said, I want to get drafted. What do I need to do? What goals do we need to set? And I said, well, your timetable right now looks like you're playing basketball, soccer, all these other sports, and you're not putting a whole heap of time into getting drafted. So you could be the master of all sports, or you could really specialise in getting drafted and moving through the AFL and actually succeeding there. So we sort of changed some things around, set some really high goals. So that's, I guess, tip number one, to make sure that you are dreaming really big and that you're setting a massive benchmark for yourself, no matter if you fall a little bit short, you're still going to be better off for it. And then, that tip number two is just to really push hard at what you want, work really hard, put the hours in, put the time in, and hard work never lies. You're always rewarded for it.
Yeah, hard work always pays off,
Yeah, so I think that would be, my advice to any young girls that want to play.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show today. I'm sure the listeners and the viewers have thoroughly enjoyed the episode. Hopefully we'll do another one next year after you've taken out the flag and
fingers crossed
and had a good season. But guys, thanks so much for tuning in to today's episode of the podcast. If you haven't subscribed already, please do go back through and have a listen to some of the past episodes, and I look forward to chatting to you again in next week's episode.